Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going deep on a case that should have every lawyer and law student out there kind of sitting up and taking notes. It's San Alfonso Diversified Care, Incorporated versus MRI Associates LLP.
Wow.
And don't let the title fool you. This Idaho Supreme Court decision is anything but dry, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're talking partnership law, wrongful dissociation,
Yes.
and a $63.5 million damages award that got completely overturned. I mean, come on.
Yeah, this is a big one. It really throws a wrench into how we think about partnership agreements. You
Right.
know, what seems like a simple concept, like how can a partner leave a partnership? It's a question, but it turns into a legal battle royal
Yeah.
with some surprising twists and turns.
Okay. So paint the picture for us. We've got St. Alphonsus and a group of other entities forming a general partnership now called MRI Associates. We'll call them MRIA back in 1985 to operate MRI equipment. Seems pretty standard, right?
Yeah, on the surface, yeah, it does. But their partnership agreement had a curious omission.
Okay.
It outlined four specific ways a partner could withdraw, but it didn't explicitly state that other withdrawal methods were prohibited. And that seemingly minor detail, that little thing right there,
Right.
that becomes the heart of the case.
Okay, so fast forward to 2004. St. Alphonsus decides they want out of MRIA. I imagine there's some back and forth about how much their share is worth, but it sounds like things escalated quickly, right?
Oh, they did. MRIA files a counterclaim. They're alleging that St. Alphonsus's departure was wrongful.
Okay.
Essentially, they argue that because the partnership agreement didn't specifically say St. Alphonsus couldn't leave the way they did, their exit violated the agreement and caused them significant financial harm.
Hold on. So MRIA's argument hinges on what the agreement didn't say rather than what it did say? That seems, I don't know, a bit shaky, doesn't it?
That's precisely the point the Idaho Supreme Court ultimately made. But, you know, before we get to the Supreme Court's analysis,
Right.
we need to understand what happened at the trial court level.
Right, because this case actually went to trial,
Yes.
didn't it?
Yes, it did.
And that's where that eye-popping $63.5 million damages award comes into play.
You got it. The district court sided with MRIA, agreeing that St. Alphonsus's dissociation was wrongful. They calculated this massive damages amount based on what MRIA claimed were lost profits and other financial harm stemming from St. Alphonsus's departure.
Wow. $63.5 million. I mean, what was the district court's rationale for such a staggering sum?
Well, this is where things get really interesting and where the case offers some crucial lessons for anyone involved in litigation. The damages award included not just the alleged losses of MRIA itself, but also the alleged losses of two limited partnerships that MRIA had formed, MRI Center and MRI Mobile.
Wait a minute. So they were trying to claim damages for entities that weren't even parties to the original lawsuit. That doesn't seem right.
It's one of several issues the Idaho Supreme Court ultimately took issue with. But before we delve into their analysis, let's talk about why this case is so important. What's fascinating here is that it highlights a principle that applies far beyond the realm of partnership law.
Okay.
When drafting contracts, assume nothing. Be explicit. If you want something to be prohibited, say so directly. This can save you a world of pain and litigation costs down the road.
It's like that old adage, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But in a legal context, if MRIA's partnership agreement had been crystal clear about permissible withdrawal methods, they might have avoided this whole legal saga.
Absolutely. And this case also exposes the potential pitfalls of damages calculations. You know, throwing in random figures for speculative lost profits won't fly with the courts.
Right.
Damages need to be carefully calculated and directly tied to the parties involved.
So the district court made some significant missteps in awarding those damages. But it sounds like St. Alphonsus wasn't about to take that massive judgment lying down.
Of course not. They appealed the decision. And eventually, the case landed in the lap of the Idaho Supreme Court. And that's where things take a dramatic turn.
I'm on the edge of my seat. What did the Supreme Court have to say about this whole wrongful dissociation debacle?
The Supreme Court's decision in this case, you really have to read it. For any lawyer who deals with contracts or partnerships,
Yeah.
they systematically dismantled the district court's ruling, you know, zeroing in on the ambiguous language of the partnership agreement.
Right.
Remember, the agreement didn't explicitly prohibit the method of withdrawal St. Alphonsus used.
The Supreme Court essentially said, if it's not forbidden, it's allowed.
Yes, precisely. Their reasoning was rooted in the fundamental principles of contract interpretation. They argued that courts can't just infer restrictions that aren't clearly stated in the agreement. They really emphasized the need for clear, unambiguous language, especially when it comes to, you know, defining the boundaries of a partnership.
That makes a lot of sense. You can't punish someone for doing something that the contract doesn't explicitly prohibit.
Right.
It seems like common sense, but I guess it's not always so clear-cut in the world of legal interpretation.
Exactly. The Supreme Court went on to address the issue of damages, and this is where things get really interesting for those of us who enjoy a good legal takedown. They pointed out that the district court erred in including damages for entities that weren't even parties to the lawsuit.
Right. We talked about that earlier, MRI Center and MRI Mobile. So the Supreme Court basically said, you can't claim damages for businesses that aren't even involved in this dispute.
That's putting it mildly. They meticulously dissected the damages calculation, highlighting the inclusion of speculative lost profits that extended beyond the partnership's term, which, remember, was indefinite. This raises an important question. How do you even begin to calculate lost profits for an undefined period in the future?
It sounds like the district court was trying to pull a fast one, throwing in any and all potential losses without a solid basis.
That's a charitable interpretation. The Supreme Court certainly didn't mince words in their critique of the damages award, using terms like speculative and unsupported. They made it clear that damages need to be directly attributable to the actions of the party being held liable.
So what we're seeing here is not just a case about partnership law, but also a cautionary tale about the importance of carefully crafted contracts and the potential consequences of sloppy legal work.
Absolutely. This case is a goldmine of lessons for lawyers. It underscores the need for meticulous contract drafting, a deep understanding of legal principles, and the strategic foresight to anticipate potential pitfalls. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it speaks to the critical role lawyers play in shaping the contours of business relationships and protecting the interests of their clients.
But the Supreme Court didn't stop there, did they? I understand they also uncovered some issues with the evidence that was presented at trial. This is where it gets really intriguing for those of us who love delving into the nitty-gritty of legal procedure.
Oh, absolutely. The Supreme Court identified several instances where the district court had admitted evidence that should have been inadmissible. For example, they flagged the inclusion of settlement offers and a memo that referenced confidential legal advice.
Okay, so let's break that down. Why were those pieces of evidence considered problematic? It seems like anything that sheds light on the situation should be fair game, right?
Not necessarily. The rules of evidence are designed to ensure fairness and prevent the admission of information that could prejudice the outcome of a trial. Settlement offers, for instance, are generally inadmissible because the legal system wants to encourage parties to negotiate and try to resolve their disputes outside of court.
That makes sense. If you knew any offer you made could be used against you later in court, you'd be less likely to even attempt to settle.
Exactly. It would have a chilling effect on negotiations. As for the memo referencing legal advice, that falls under the umbrella of attorney-client privilege.
Ah, attorney-client privilege, that sacred bond between lawyer and client. But why is that protection so important in this context?
Imagine you're a client seeking legal advice. You need to be able to speak freely and openly with your lawyer, sharing all the relevant details without fear that those conversations will be revealed to the other side.
It's like a legal version of the confessional. You need that safe space to be completely honest without worrying about the consequences.
Precisely. Attorney-client privilege ensures that clients can trust their lawyers and receive candid legal guidance. Admitting that memo as evidence would have violated that fundamental principle.
So the district court messed up on the damages, messed up on the admissibility of evidence, and the Supreme Court basically said, hold on, this whole trial has been riddled with errors.
That's a pretty accurate summary. And the Supreme Court didn't stop there. One of the concurring justices, Justice Jones, added his own commentary, and it's a real zinger.
Oh, I love when judges get sassy. What did Justice Jones have to say?
Well, he issued a warning suggesting that MRIA might just end up regretting their decision to appeal. Hmm. Remember, while the Supreme Court vacated the initial judgment, they remanded the case for a new trial.
So even though St. Alphonsus won this round, the fight wasn't necessarily over.
Exactly. And that's where Justice Jones's warning comes in. He pointed out that if MRIA continued to pursue the case and ultimately lost again, they might be on the hook for a substantial portion of the legal costs incurred by both sides.
Oh, man. Yeah. Talk about adding insult to injury. It's like winning the battle, but potentially losing the war and your bank account in the process.
It's a stark reminder that litigation is a strategic game, and every move carries potential consequences. Sometimes pressing on, even when you believe you're in the right, can backfire spectacularly.
This whole case is like a masterclass in legal strategy and the importance of thinking several steps ahead. It's not just about winning the immediate argument, but also considering the long-term implications of your actions.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This case is a perfect example of how a seemingly simple partnership dispute can spiral into a complex and costly legal battle with twists and turns at every corner.
We've covered so much ground today, from wrongful dissociation and damages calculations to evidence rules and attorney-client privilege, even a dash of judicial sass from Justice Jones. What a ride.
It's been a whirlwind tour of partnership law and the critical role lawyers play in navigating the complexities of business relationships.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into St. Alphonsus versus MRI Associates, what's the ultimate takeaway for our listeners, especially those aspiring lawyers out there?
I think it boils down to this. Clarity, precision, and strategic thinking are the cornerstones of effective legal practice. Whether you're drafting a contract, arguing a case, or advising a client, remember that every word, every action has potential consequences.
It's about thinking like a chess player, anticipating your opponent's moves, and planning your strategy accordingly.
Exactly, and never underestimate the power of clear communication. The St. Alphonsus case is a testament to the fact that ambiguous language can be a lawyer's worst nightmare.
Well said, and on that note, we'll wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. Thank you for joining us on this fascinating journey through the intricacies of partnership law and the strategic nuances of litigation. Until next time, stay sharp and keep those legal minds engaged.